Well, welcome this morning. Morning. It's good to see you all. Your faces look like you're waiting for bad news. But this is good news. This is good news. I want to talk to you about this morning about establishing a space in your corner. I'm going to ask you to listen this morning because we're heading in a different direction, which I believe will lead us into this season that we keep hearing God talk to us about. I believe this is one of the building blocks. This is not the only thing you need. How many of you believe the church is family? Well, this side does. Part of that side does. We're not quite sure over here. I believe the church is family. If you sum up, who is the dream sense? It's family. And what is family? Family's team. There's no greater team on planet Earth than family. Amen? And allegedly, there's no greater team on the planet Earth than family. You'll do anything for family. You'll go to any length for family because families, God has given us a family. It's called the Dream Center. Now, you might not like some of your brothers and sisters, but you're still family. It's a different rule when you walk into God's house than it is in your own house. You get brothers and sisters who don't talk to each other, who are at war with each other, who've never seen each other since the day mum and dad passed away. But that can't be the case in the church. Because the patterns in the church has to be different than what's outside. How can we fix a broken world if everybody doesn't talk to each other, runs away from each other, doesn't like each other? You're no different than the world. And don't tell me you're a Christian if you can't talk to people next to you. No, and I know some people don't like that, but that is the truth. You're meant to be different. You're meant to be salt and light. So family is everything God's given to the world. Family is the oldest institution. Family's built the world. And we know families are breaking down and they're in trouble and they're in chaos. But we have to be an example to our community. I was talking to many of you have seen the guys out there, the alcoholics who assemble in this corner over here. And for some reason, they choose the church step to have their prayer meeting. Right? And I go out there and talk to them quite often. And I'm getting to know them and breaking down the barriers with them. And it's good that, you know, one of them's been in here during, our outreach. And he said, you know what? He said to me yesterday, he said, tell the people inside there, they are a different kind of people I've ever seen. He's not talking about you, Lord, he's talking about the church. But he said, you know, this is a different kind of people that he's ever seen. So he said, what I like about you, Tony, is you don't ram it down my throat. So I said to him, well, I can't ram it down your throat. Why? I said, because you've always got a can in your mouth. So, you know, we laugh about it and I have good rapport with him and he's been through, a torrid time with his girlfriend. He can't seem to keep her. She's here 1 minute and gone. They've got kids in care. It's chaos. And he walked in and sensed the family. And on that day, on the fun day, what he didn't know is I went, and Carol and I went over to his father. His father is, I think he's 82, and he lost his wife. And in the street one day, I said to him, how are you doing? And he starts crying. He said, I lost my wife yesterday. I mean, what'd you do to that? You know, so we went over and said, come on, why don't you come have lunch with us? And he said, no, I just want to be on my own. But we'll keep going. We'll keep knocking. Why? Because I believe doors are ready to open. But we've got to be there as a family, ready to knock on doors. Team is, you know, family team is all that God has given us. And in that is so much richness. We won't do what God wants us to do without embracing this family dynamic. The Dream Center is first and foremost family. It has to be. And we will minister more to family than any other area. Because family is what builds lives. Amen? So keep that, that's the context of where we are and who we are. And we will try and do everything for your family that we can. We will try and do everything we can. But you must also work with us. There has to be a man on the inside as well as people on the outside. Amen? So go to your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to start what may look like a very strange scripture, but I'll make sense of it. hopefully. And you know the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 10:4, and it says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Notice we're not going out there to debate and argue other people's opinions. We only have this weapons are there to demolish arguments against God. Right? Some of you are involved in arguments you shouldn't be involved in. You don't have to turn up to every argument you're invited to. Learn to stay out of some fights. So he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive. We don't set the people captive, we take the thoughts captive to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your act of disobedience. Now, there are some battles that we fight, and we have to use conventional weapons. So if you take, right now, Ukraine. Ukraine are using tactical weaponry, advanced weaponry, some that different nations are feeding in there to help them stand and fight that fight of the oppressor. Okay? And there are some battles where you need to fight alongside others. And you need a corner, you need to establish a corner and make space in that corner for people to fight alongside with you. Everybody needs a corner, every family needs a corner. Everyone in a family needs a corner. You see, my children need a corner. Even though my children are grown up and got kids of their own, right? They still need a corner. They run back to dad or mum occasionally, depending on what advice they might need or what help they might need. And that's what family does. And it's a beautiful thing to see your kids sometimes coming into your house and asking for resources, right? And I always laugh at my son, Ben. Ben will just keep taking, you know, kids will come in the fridge and take everything in the fridge, won't they? Scott doesn't do it, but Ben does. Ben will just come in and just take the biscuits, eat the biscuits, never ask you, have you got any more biscuits? He'll just take what he wants. And there's a part of that that I like. There's a part of that that does my head in. I like the idea that he still thinks it's home, but I don't like the idea that he hasn't got a conscience. So I can't have it both ways. But we have to establish in our lives what I'm going to call a beachhead. Now, beachhead is a term that when the Allied forces invaded France and things like that, the first thing they had to do, they came from the sea or the air, whatever it is. But if you came from the sea, you had to get on the beach and you'd be pinned down on the beach. And it was such an horrific scene. If you've seen that movie, Saving Private Ryan, it's such an horrific scene where they're pinned down on the beach and they've got to get off the beach, because if you don't get off the beach, one, the tide will come in, and two, you'll stay there and you'll end up getting killed. But your idea is to get off the beachhead and advance into inland. And that's how you begin to take your forces. You occupy territory by your forces taking the beachhead, the land, sea and air and all that kind of thing. But when it comes to families, we all need a corner. We need a beachhead. And family is the safe haven from where we can all advance. Family, the home is the place we leave every morning and we return back to. It's the place where we sleep. It's the place where we find rest. It's the place where we fight as well. But then we learn to forgive. It's the place where we learn to tolerate one another. Some of us do. Right? It's a place where we put our strength together for the good of the family. True? And every church or every family needs a beachhead, needs a corner. Now, this is what I've observed as being a pastor. I've seen so many, many Christians over the years who do not have weapons to guard their own family. I'm not talking about hammer and sword and guns and knives. I'm talking about spiritual weaponry to guard the very thing God's trying to give them. We're careless, irresponsible, we're ignorant, nonchalant. And every one of us needs the weapons to protect what God's given us and to grow that compost, that vine. You know, some of you might be tomatoes, others might be bananas, others might be whatever it is you're growing in your family. Whatever fruit is in your family, you must recognize it and preserve it. And you'll find that as the more fruitful your family is, you won't just grow one fruit, you'll grow fruits. And the more you see it, Just don't grow any nuts. Grow fruit. Fruit and nut. And what I've seen is, wherever I've seen Christians who don't do family well, I see that they become isolated in their own world and they become subject to attack. That's my observation, watching families in church over all the years I've been a Christian. Those who don't do family inside church get isolated and they get attacked. You can't argue with my experience, because I've been the one who's had to go and minister to them, or Phil has, or Paul has, or other pastors who were here at the time. You must not be isolated. You must not be isolated. It's so tempting when you walk in here, you walk in with your family, but you brought your family to another family. And you must not be isolated on your own. And you know, as kids grow older and they get their own space, have you noticed you can go months without seeing your kids? Or maybe you don't know. If your kids are young, as they get older and they start working and they get their own place, your kids will call you less. And it'll expose you how you feel. And you think, maybe I should have spent more time with Johnny or Susie. Because what happens is they will fill the gap that you didn't fill. Let me say that again. They will fill the gap that you didn't fill. If you are isolated and didn't spend time with your kids, they will spend time doing other things. And then when you want them, because you're lonely, they're too busy. Learn the lesson. Don't get isolated. Don't let your kids become isolated. It's important that we have a strong bond with one another in the church. I didn't say being in one another's pockets, but be a church that is a family. You're going quiet now. Now, see, some people would say, well, I'm not alone. I've got Jesus in my corner. I've just got the Holy Spirit in my corner. And I say, well, aren't we all? Haven't we all? So you think you're the only one with Jesus in your corner, so you don't need anybody else. Well, if that's the case, let me show you what Scripture says about that. God said that he put us in a family. And then he says in Corinthians, and you could use many, many other scriptures to justify why that statement is wrong. You could then say, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he told them, the eye cannot say he does not need the body. There's no part of this church that cannot justify in front of God why it doesn't need the rest. Now, I didn't say tell all your secrets to everyone. That's different. Just because we're all family. I didn't say give your bank account number to somebody. No, we build trust. We guard our hearts. But we've got to see, this can be like Parliament. That side can see this side as the opposition. These lot can be the Liberals. They can be the Conservatives. They can be Labour. And I'll be, what's the fella in the middle? Speaker of the House. That'll do. But this is not opposition. Now, during the Queen's funeral, they had to put all the sides had to put the tomatoes down. And for 2 weeks, they're itching to throw tomatoes. And then Liz comes out with a budget. Whoa, his game's back on again. Throw tomatoes at each other. Because that's what opposition does. But a family shouldn't find weakness with itself. Neither should it tolerate nonsense. Yeah? Weakness is okay to a point, but it shouldn't tolerate nonsense. So, I believe if we use sporting metaphors like the bench, the dugout. Everyone knows what a dugout is? The bench or the corner. If you're in boxing, it's a corner. If you're in football, it's a bench. Or if you're in baseball, it's a dugout. And whatever metaphor we could use for a corner, we can use it. I like the bench, I like the corner, I like the dugout, because it just means something to me, because I'm a sporty kind of guy. So those things resonate with me. If you're not a sporty person, just listen in, lean in and listen. Okay? You see, In my dugout, in my corner, on my bench, here's my wife. God gave her to me. This was before we had any children. This was our family. And you've heard me say many, many times, you say to your kids, always remind your kids, it started with me and Mum, and it will finish with me and Mum. You will all leave one day, won't you? You will all leave one day. I can Uber it. I can Uber the taxi for you. But then it'll always be me and Mum. You will get on with your life, and who knows where your life will take you. But it'll always start with me and Mum, and it will finish with me and Mum. So you've got to keep that relationship with your kids and with your wife, because if she ditches you, you're on your own. Now you see, I've got a loving companion in my corner. But guess what? I also need men in my corner. Oi. Come on. I need men in my corner. I've got the woman of my dreams. She listens to me sometimes. I listen to her sometimes. And it's me and her. We started together like this. But I need men in my corner. We need men in our corner. If you're a guy, you need men in your corner. Now, I've got my loyal partner here. My partner in crime. He commits the crime. I'm just a partner. I dig him out, yeah. So I've got my loving wife. I've got my partner. But guess what? I need Andrea. I need other women in my corner. Why? Because other women will give me the perspective that he can't give me. Other women will give me strength in my corner that Carol can't give me. Different strength. I'm not looking for Ange to supply what Carol should be giving. That's mine and Carol's responsibility. Let's keep the lines very clear. What Carol supplies to my life, I'm not looking for Andrea to supply. Very different. So I need to know why I need other women in my corner. And I need to know what kind of women I need in my corner. There's many other women in my corner. Because why? Because they add value to my life. Because I'm building my family. Yeah? I also need married couples in my family, in my corner. Why? Because married couples give you a perspective that singles don't. So I look for married couples who have got maturity and character, who have walked a very similar journey, who have cried the same over the same things we've all cried about, who are going through difficulties, some of the ones we've not experienced, but we learn because we're close to them. And we can be a support mechanism for one another. This is so important that we have people in the corner. I also need thinkers in my corner, not stinkers. Do you know, I've reached an age in my life where I realise that I've always been a thinker to some degree. My thinking's got stronger and stronger and clearer as I've got older, because I've probably got less baggage attached to my life. But what I've realised is this next season of my life, I need people who I've never met before. I need thinkers to help me go to the next level. I'm really asking God to send me some people, abstract thinkers, who don't think like me. Because I need other people to get this church to where it needs to go. I need help. And I'm not afraid to tell you that I need help. I'm not struggling, but I need help. And thinkers are those people who help you go to the next level. So if I've got to get on a plane to go somewhere, I'm going. If I've got to make a journey, why? Because I value, my circle is important to me. I've got Carol. I could just do life with Carol, but we're limited. Two is too small of a number. Do you understand? If you're going somewhere, you need more than two. I need professionals in my corner. Professionals bring me an experience and wisdom that I don't have. My wisdom is only a certain amount of level, just like yours is. But in the corner, I bring wisdom in. Are you getting this? I need wisdom. You need to ask, what kind of thinkers do you need around you? If you want everybody to agree with you, then forget it. I don't just want people who will agree with me. I need people to tell me, Tony, you're a dipstick. That's not going to work. Why won't it work? Blah, 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 blah. Help me understand. Help me see. Help me think. So professionals, I'm believing God will bring more and more professionals around into the house because they give the church a cutting edge. I need funny people around me. I like to laugh. I can be serious, you know, can be serious, but I like to laugh. Sometimes I'll laugh with you, other times I'll laugh at you. And other times you'll laugh with me. So I've defined what my corner needs. But I'm also, I want to say we are defining what our church needs. Our church needs to increase its corner. It does. Now, you are all wonderful people. But there's more wonderful people to reach. And you know, you get someone of the caliber of these guys who I keep bumping into. You get Christ in those boys. And who knows what's in them? We've got to make room in this family for them to be different and to grow. Amen? You might go to a cup of tea afterwards and they might pick 6 biscuits up in one hand. And you'll go, not coming here. You might leave your bag. Please don't leave your bags on the chairs. As the congregation changes, so will your bag change. And I don't want it to happen to you for you to learn the lesson. We can't just walk away from our goods. We've got to be vigilant. Because as other people come in, they see it as an opportunity. Because why? Because their life's not transformed yet. But they're on that journey. So we've got to make room for them. And that might be awkward. You might, you know, as we're having a moment of singing, they're going, yeah. Just, it's okay. God's bigger than that. It's okay. This is not choir rehearsal. So we need to define what we need in our corner. And we're defining what we need in our corner as a church, as a leadership right now. And we're talking about it because it's very, very important that once we define it, you understand it, you come into that, and we together create this family that we want to see God create. Amen? Now, why do we need this corner? Because in the corner, or in the space, the dugout, the bench, it's where we receive our tactics from. How many times are you instructing your kids on a day-to-day basis, small ones now, you tell them, get your shoes, do this, do that, do that. You're giving tactics to them all the time. Well, if you put that away and do this away, they can do that away. And you're talking to them all the time. It's a place where we receive instruction from. We need a corner where we can receive instruction. I go into my corner. Carol says, I'm the worst washer of pots she's ever seen. Right? I'm always getting instructions. Right? I need to receive instructions. I need to improve in them as well. It's a place where I receive encouragement from, or where we need a space where we can receive encouragement from. Amen? It's a space where we receive help. Help. If you get a bloody nose, who's going to wipe it? If you get a swollen eye, who's going to be there with the ice pack? Well, I can do it all myself. Brave you, then, aren't you? You can't fix everything that goes wrong with you. And you shouldn't be trying. But it's so easy because you don't want to be vulnerable. And there's the issue. There's the heart of the issue. It's that I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to show I can't do it. Now it's pride. And this is part of that vine that we heard before. God's saying, that needs uprooting. That needs uprooting. And I need a corner, and you need a corner, and we need a corner to stand in and invite others into. I'm so glad, I'm so rich of a person that I've got other people in my corner. I am so blessed that I have many of you in my corner. I consider you in my corner. I do. And I thank God for it. Now, whether you want me in your corner, that's your choice. But I consider you in my corner. Many of you, I could pick the phone up, and I know if I ask certain things, you'd be there. And that's a beautiful thing for anyone to ask. When you got, you know, when it used to be in the days of Nokia, When they started giving you that deal, your 10 friends. And that kind of excluded most people because they didn't have 10 friends. And if you want to go out, who are you going to ring? And there's nobody in your list. There's an idea that you haven't got a corner. There's an insight. You haven't got a corner. Well, I don't want anybody in my corner. That's the point we're making. You can't do it all on your own. Well, I've got this far. Really? Okay. So the corner's where where the rest of the team cheerlead you. Where they inspire you to keep on going. Chin up. Do you know who the first cheerleaders are in this church? The guys on the door. The guys on the door are the first cheerleaders. Oh, it's so good to see you, and you're bringing your miserable face in. And they're sat there with, it's so good to see you. But guess what? They mean it. They're sincere. They're genuine. Because it's so important that if you're going to bring people into your family, you welcome them in. They don't want to feel they've had to gate crash the place. Nobody wants to feel unwelcomed. Nobody wants to feel like they don't belong. So I think the people on the door, those angels, these are not angels with dirty faces. These are angels with glowing faces. Because there is 10 people that you meet on a Sunday morning before you even get to hear me speak or anybody else speak. And from the car park to the door is the most crucial step for any church. Now, I've been to churches where there's 3,000 and 4,000 people in them. Believe me, the car park is so key. So key. Because if you've got people in the car park with a bad attitude, guess what? You'll put the people in a bad attitude as they enter in the church. And if you get to the front door and nobody's saying, morning, oh, it's her again. Open the door. Yeah, go and find yourself a seat. Or she says, all right, yeah, just get in. That's not the environment we want to set. Because we won't always be in this building. We'll be in a different building, a bigger building, where people can get lost. But the more people who have that attitude, great to see you this morning. It's good to see you this morning. Oh, I'm so glad you come. What's your week been like? You know what? I'll remember you in prayer this week. That's the family that people want to belong to. Believe me, you might not want, but more people out there want that. And that's what we're trying to build. But you've got, now notice what he says in this scripture here. Let's go back to this scripture. You're thinking, oh, he's forgot all about it. No. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Now, you all like that verse. But here's the issue to this. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. In other words, you can't do that until some things are put right inside of you. There are wrestles inside of you that prevent you from fulfilling that scripture. You can't take every thought captive if there's disobedience inside your own heart. True? Come on. If I don't want to be part of this family, God says, no, I told you to love one another. But I'll just keep worshiping and loving you, God, and believing you lead me. God says, you're disobeying my principle. Love one another. You can't just disconnect from people and think you can advance. It doesn't work like that, folks. God does not abandon his principles. I've tried. I've tested him on it. I'm sure many of you have. So we have to be very mindful. This is what Sun Tzu said, military strategist. And I thought, when I read this, I thought, that's so indicative of so many, many Christians in light of what I've just read to you. Sun Tzu said this, victorious warriors, listen to this, victorious warriors win first. Then they go to war. While defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. Wow. Now that's a thinker. That's the guy I want in my corner. That's wisdom right there. Oh, he didn't come out of the Bible, but it's still wisdom. It's still wisdom. So much of the church, because it's got internal wrestles, want to go out, fight, and then try and get a victory. When you should fight from the place of victory. Now, I know not in all areas of our life we can have victory. Victory is a process. No, so let me rephrase that. We can have victory in all areas of our life, but to get victory is a process. Let me state that. So we know that we are a work in progress. So we seek to get victory, but we seek to get victory, and we know we have to fight some battles, but we must get victory in some areas first. And one of the areas we need to get victory in is family. Because once we get family sorted out, we can go to war as a house, rather than the house go to war with each other. Yes? We're not at war with each other. We go to war together in a place of victory. And the family should be the first corner where victory is established. Does this make sense? I just think it's so powerful, that statement. So powerful. This came from an ancient military strategist. Chinese. Do you know, what's the place in America where they do all their military training, Chris? Is it Point? Something Point, is it? West Point. And you got, what's the British one? Sandhurst. These guys, military strategists, study this fella. Sun Tzu's one of the ancient warriors. Because he had a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. But you know, you've got to look at yourself and say, one is too small of a number for success. One is too small of a number for success. I need two. So, unless, how can two go together unless they agree? Right? So there's the first forming. And Carol and I say, we don't just want to stay with two. Let's make a family. We make a family, we've got five. Five's now increased, and this beautiful lady's part of our family. And we're so glad to have her. I'm not sure she's glad to have us, but we're glad to have her. But that's just internally. But in the house, we've embraced a wider dynamic. I want to be rich, and I'm rich with people, not with money. You are what make me rich. You, not what's in your pocket. Because you don't give it me anyway. Why? Because I don't want it. I've never asked for it. You are more important to me than anything else. That's why we labour for you. Behind an able man is other well able people. So they always say, behind every good man, what do they say? Is a good woman. But my answer to that is, what is the woman doing behind the man? She should be alongside the man, not behind him. I know what the statement's trying to say, but at the same time, I want my wife at the side of me. I don't want you behind me, I want you alongside me. That's where the army fights, alongside one another. Amen? Now, here's an African proverb. You may have come across it. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. Or I say, if you want to go fast, buy a fast car. If you want to go far, go with others. Fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, if you want to go far, go with others. So in order to go with others, you need to create the space for others to go with you. It's very clear. I believe in the power of the team. Ralph, have you got my... you can't find it? All right, doesn't matter. I was going to show you what success looks like. You know, when you go to... you see sports, football, let's say football, for instance, and you see at the last... The last day of the season, you see all the players on the field receiving their trophy, and you see the champagne going in the air, the streamers in the air, you see all the players. We all know that it's not the players alone who won the championship. Do we know that? I have some slides to show you that. It's called the grace. It's a slide. Eh? Okay. No, it's a slide. I put it on there. All right, don't matter. So, get off. You're blessed. The tech apostle can't find it. I'm not going to find it. So we know that when the teams on the field are receiving the trophy and you see, you know, our captain is Fernandinho, or was last year when we won the City and went about, when they won the Premier League. And you see the team on the field with all the medals. But just prior to the team picking up the trophy, you see all the backroom staff lining up on the field. Right? All those people it takes to get these group of people to perform to their best. Without their expertise, without their knowledge, without their wisdom, without their day-to-day, them being at the side, those players could not perform to their maximum. And all those guys are winners. All those guys should receive the same medal. Why? Because it's a team game. If they win, we win. If they lose, we lose. And we have nutritionists there, we have health experts, we have data guys, we have technicians, we have physios, we've got every kind of animal we need in the team to make sure the team performs at its maximum level. This is where we're at as a house. This is why I need thinkers, professionals, ordinary people. When I say ordinary people, people who have retired, people who have no longer got a career, they passed that career on now in their lives. We need every kind of people in our corner because every kind of person adds something different. It's true. It's true. You see, if I've got somebody in a professional setting, for example, they will have insight into an arena that I've never had. I've not been in the professional workplace since the day I came into the ministry. I know things have changed. Woof, it's a different world. But I need to be kept up to date how the world is changing because it helps me to understand them when they come into church. It helps me them to minister to their needs better because I understand their work environment. Yeah? So, each of us need... We haven't got much time, so run this very quickly. Each of us need in our team, in our corner. Let's just make this very, very... I've tried to make that as practical as I can, but let me just give you five spiritual things you need in your corner. The first member of the team you need in your corner is the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Because he's the conscience of God. He's the consciousness of God. He makes known what the Father is saying, what the Father has said. He's the one who brings us to the point. Now, let me give you this illustration. Last week, Carol and I went for a walk. As we went for a walk, I found a credit card on the floor. We're in this big country setting, and the card was on the grass. Now, I don't know if that card's been there 2 weeks, 2 minutes, 2 days. But because I have a conscience, it doesn't matter how long it's been there. I'm not going to go to a pub or a restaurant and see if I can use it on contactless. Why? Because that would be wrong, wouldn't it, Nisa? Of course it would be. But if it's in your conscience, if it's not in your conscience, you would try it. So as I'm walking down the boulevard of this country place, I see this family. And I says to him, hey, excuse me, your name's not such and such a person, is it? Maybe thinking they may have dropped it. He went, no, it's not. I said, I've found a card. So he said, but I won't mind taking it off you. So I went, no, it's okay. And he was smiling. I think I'll take it off you. But the thing is, it's so easy to go and take it off you and think, okay, well, let's just try it. But it's not yours. Not yours. Don't play. It's like the Lord of the Rings. The more you hold that ring in your hand, the more you'll want to put it on and it'll suck you into that dark world. It's not what I can get away with. It's what I'm prepared to live with. My conscience is everything to me. Now, it's not alive in every area, but I'm working to keep it alive in every area. The Holy Spirit is our conscience. And we must have the conscience of the Holy Spirit in our church. In John 14:17, he tells us, the Spirit of truth, the world can't accept him. Because he neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he lives within you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. This family is not an orphan. This is not an orphanage. This is a house with family in. And God says, I won't leave you as an orphanage. You'll build a house. Amen? Because I live, you also live. The next thing you need in your corner, I'm rushing through this, is the grace of God. The grace of God. Oh man, I want to talk to you more about the grace of God. How it works for our life. Most people only know the saving grace of God. That's all they've ever been taught. But there is the sustaining power of grace. And I'll talk to you more about that in the days. In Romans 12:6, he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. With gifts, there's a grace. Every family has gifts. I look at Sam. She's got this ability to make a house into a home. When I go to her house, she knows how to create that environment. The food, brilliant around food. Brilliant. I've said to Carol many times, she does it really well. She's one of those that you know when you go to the fridge, you see the advert when there's only mayonnaise in the fridge, and next minute they come out with a four-star dinner. That's Sam. I like that. It's good quality. Galatians 2:21. He says, I do not set aside the grace of God. In other words, I won't compromise it. I won't abandon the grace of God because it's been given to me and I need it for my life. Every family needs the grace. Every family needs the grace of God. Not just money. You need grace. Every family's got a grace to do something. And the gifts can't work without the grace of God. I never heard people talk about that. They only talk about the gifts of the Spirit. They don't talk about the grace that's required to operate the gifts. And that's what we're going to see in this family. The grace to operate in the gifts. The next thing you need in the corner is the righteousness of God. These are the things that establish a family. These are the things that establish the corner. Every family, every church family at least, must have righteousness. Now, it says here, put that in there, the righteousness of God, stroke, equals the power of God. If you want the power, get righteous. If you want the power, get righteous. So it says in Romans 1:6, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone who believes first, for the Jew, then the Gentile, for in the gospel is the righteousness from God that is revealed. That is by faith, from first to last, just as is written, the righteous must live by faith. And then Colossians 2:12 says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith, through your faith in the power of God, in the power of God, who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you and I alive in Christ. For he forgave all our sins, having cancelled the written code with regulations that was against us, and he stood opposed, and he took it away and nailing it to the cross, having disarmed all the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of him. Now, the next thing you need in your corner, we're nearly finished, is the anointing. Every family needs the anointing. Every house needs fuel. Fuel. The anointing's given to you. Because the anointing is the Holy Spirit who teaches you about all things. Amen. John tells us, 1 John 2:27, as for you, the anointing received from him remains in you. And you don't need anyone to tell you about that. His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it was taught to you, remain in him. Now, and the last thing you need in your corner is a team. The last thing you need in your corner is a team. So you've got the grace of God, the anointing of God, the righteousness of God, the Holy Spirit, And now you've got a team. Now the Holy Spirit has room and people to move in. Amen? So, Acts 12 verse 4 says this. Watch Peter understood this. Peter understood that he needed team members and partners in his ministry. You see, most people want donators. Watch this. Most people who've got ministries want people to donate to their ministry. And they call them partners. That's not a partner. That's a giver. That's a donator. If you want partners, partnership is very different than donators. Let's not play games here. A partner, I don't want Carol to donate food to me if she's my partner. My partner will go to the next level for me. And I will go for the next level for her. So Peter understood this, and Peter was being persecuted. He was in prison. And as he was in prison, read this. Now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, after arresting, he was put in prison, handed him over to be guarded by four guards. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter's ready to be... What's this? So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The church was praying for Peter. Why was the church praying for Peter? Because Peter was part of the church and part of the church was in Peter. There needs to be a church team in your corner. And lastly, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 12. And this scripture always is a very powerful scripture to me when I read it, because I know this scripture. I've had to live this scripture. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel, I found that the Lord had opened the door for me. So let's just stop right there. For me. The Lord's opened a door for me. So therefore, I can go because the Lord's opened a door for me. Is that what it reads to you? He's now got a door. God's opened it. I've recognized it. It's for me. I can go. I can leave others if I need to because there's a door for me. It's my destiny. But Paul says, whoa, 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 hang on, Kimo Savi. This, just wait a minute. Because he's got a conscience, let's read what he says. He says he had every reason to think or believe he could make this journey on his own. But he stopped and went, I don't want to go on my own. I don't want to go on my own. He says this in verse 13. I had an open door for me. I still had no peace of mind. I've got an open door, but I had no peace of mind. A couple of years ago, I could have gone to Brazil. And I was convinced God was leading me into Brazil. Right? I prayed about it. I thought I'd seen a vision about it, and I was convinced, Brazil, I'm going into Brazil. And then one day I gets a phone call in Asda, always Asda, God speaks to me in Asda. I get this phone call from a friend of ours, hiya Tony, I'm going to Brazil, do you want to come? Oh, this is God, absolutely, this is God. I'm thinking, God's opened up a door for me, hallelujah, this is fantastic. The God of Asda speaks. And then as I get speaking to him over the next coming weeks, I get this unrest inside of me. It's like the waters were swishing in and out. And I felt so uncomfortable. So what did I do? I turned to my corner. I got my corner praying. I didn't tell them what to pray for other than pray about Brazil. And my corner, my team, my family started to pray for me. And as they started to pray for me, they also got a word from the Lord. And then when we came together, I knew in my spirit something had changed and I wasn't to go. But I didn't want to give them that information, so they started praying with that information. I wanted them to hear from God. And this was the scripture they came to me with. There is safety in numbers, folks. There is safety. I put it to them, they went to God, God spoke to them, brought it to me. God had spoke to me, giving me this unrest. I involve them. Can you see the family? Imagine, and this is what he said, because I did not find my brother, and I realized I was going to Brazil, but I had no brothers on the other side. I was just going to walk in there with this guy who was going to open the door for me, but I had no covering and no protection and no brothers. More often than not, when I travel, I always travel with someone. More often than not, I'll always take someone with me. Why? Because it's safe. You know, I don't want nobody accusing me of doing something that I shouldn't be doing when I'm out of your sight. It only takes one person to put that fly in the ointment, and it puts unease in yours and certainly in my wife. So I like to keep myself open and transparent and accountable to the best of my ability. Billy Graham, whenever he had a crusade, he'd always make sure someone slept outside his door. So no one could have accused him of a woman coming in or him inviting a woman into his room. Smart, Billy. Smart. Billy Smart Circus. And then he says this, so, because I did not find my brother, Titus he was talking about, I went, and then when I found Titus, once I found Titus, we carried on. But there's a time when you and I have got to realize forward is not, because it's an opportunity, does not mean you can go. If you haven't got brothers and a family in the corner, you've got to know the difference. Not every door. God's watching to see how we respond. If we want God's wisdom and his leading, we've got to be prepared to go, to understand how God does it. Well, surely it was God. You had a dream. Yes. But what he's saying is, you will go to Brazil, but just not today. And the next time Brazil is opened up for me, it'll be the right thing because I'll go with a brother. Right? That's it. So, to summarize, we need to create this corner for family. More and more. And this family is going to change in its dynamic. It's going to change in its dimension. And others will come in and add. Some away at this weekend. But others will come in and add their colour, their flavour, their dimension to us. So this family will grow and grow and grow. And it will become stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. We are family, we are team. Come on, we are family, we are team. And we will function more and more and more as those bringing family and team together. That's the way forward for us as a house. We're coming as individuals, but we belong to a family. It was a team. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, create the space in people's hearts to make this journey. Father, there is no orphans in your family. Everyone has been bought with a price. Everyone is loved, valued. You even told Mary she's highly favored. You told Elizabeth she's blessed of all women. Father, when you bring us into your family, you accept us 100%. So Father, help us to build this family. Help us to strengthen the weak points in the family. I pray for every family here today. And I pray for whatever's going on, whatever stresses, whatever worries, whatever chaos, disorganization, dysfunction is going on. Lord, I pray for the peace of God. I pray for the peace of God to transcend all understanding. Trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding. And keep in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll make your paths clear for you. God is the head of our family. He is the one. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we worship him and we give him thanks. Amen. 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 Enjoy. Help yourself to some tea and coffee. God bless you all.